Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. Today, this is the month of May, and in a very special way, it's a beautiful opportunity to discover the gift of the rosary, and in even standing behind that, to discover the gift of the Blessed Mother given to us by the Lord Jesus himself on the cross, and even stronger, I'm going to say this in a dramatic way, destined from all eternity by God the Father, that we would have the gift of Mary to be for us a Blessed Mother in our spiritual life. Today, we're going to learn all about that, and in a very particular way, learn about the gift of the rosary and the promises. Have you ever heard of the 15 promises of the rosary? Today, we're going to do that with Julia Miller, and we'll start in just a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. DrTomCurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran, and it's great to have a dear friend. Boy, going back almost 28 years, Julia Miller. Julia, I'm going to welcome you to the program just to say hi, and then I'm going to say a prayer to get us started. Julia, welcome.
Tom, it's been longer, which means we are older. So I can tell, I know roughly how long you and Carrie have been married based on how old my youngest child is and when I did your flowers. And he's going to be 32. Am I correct? Are you on coming up on 32?
We're married 30 and a half years.
I may have known you over 33 years.
My goodness, thank you. Thank you for making me feel
like an
really
hour,
that old, right? Julia. I appreciate that. All right, now I really have to pray. I really
Our friendship is
pray.
Only hours old in terms of God's eternity.
Amen. I love that. That's great. Well, let's start with a prayer. And then, Julia, I'm going to introduce folks to you a little bit more and the wonderful book you've written on praying the promises of the rosary. All right, let's get started with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' holy name, we come before you, and we thank you, Lord, for the times and seasons of our lives, for the people that you bring into our lives for your purposes, for your plan, Lord, and the way that you intend us to be a blessing to each other and to build up your kingdom. Lord, I thank you for Julia Miller and for the book that she's written on the gift of the rosary, and in a special way to help us to discover and to welcome in our lives the promises that have been associated by the Lord himself, revealed to the great saints down through the ages and lived by the great saints down through the ages, of praying the rosary. And so, Lord, give us the grace in this month to discover and to live that gift of the rosary in a whole new way. And we make this prayer in your holy name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. In the name
of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wow, Julia, when you reached out to me, I think it was, I don't know, 6 months ago, maybe even longer, you were saying, Tom, I'm writing a book. I'm writing a book, and it's about the promises of the rosary, the 15 promises. And I've heard of them, I've read them, but I have not made it a significant part of my own living of this devotion of praying the rosary. To associate it with the promises. And so I was fascinated by that sense of, oh, this is something that I want to do. Called to do, probably. And that you went forward. You went forward, and now I'm holding in my precious hands here, praying the promises of the rosary.
Yes.
And so first of all, well done, good and faithful servant. Because this is what, the 13th book you've written, and
praise
this is like
Lord,
just a part and parcel of your whole life. Yeah.
No.
Tell us a bit about you.
No. All right. So when we met, I was a hobby gone mad wedding florist, which, And the magic of your wedding anniversary that I remember is that I actually pre-arranged a lot of things for your wedding, then took off to Hawaii on vacation. And my sister-in-law, who was like 18, 19 at the time, she set up your wedding. So flowers, wedding flowers, and then, raising 5 kids. There was this point where I had 5 kids in 5 different schools and nobody drove. And John worked out of town, my husband. And I had to back burner the floral business. And then, life changed again and I got back in, but then I backburdened. No, I didn't. I retired from the wedding floral business to focus on shipping whole rosaries made of fresh roses around the country. So I do that with, it's called freshrosary.com. People can look it up. I do that, but that's not why I'm here. But that got me networking with other professional Catholics, which was so beautiful to be a part of Catholic Island, where I could network and I didn't have to explain myself to anybody about what motivates me. Everyone was motivated by the kingdom of God, and everyone. So wonderful. And there was a lady in this group who was starting a Catholic self-publishing academy. And they will drip market. They'll let you know the different things they're doing. And I thought, well, that seems really interesting. Boy, I'd love to be a fly on the wall. I didn't think I had a book in me. But then an interesting thing happened, Tom. I took my rosary box prototype. I had a beautiful print. Now there's this angel printed on my rosary box shipper. I was carrying it downstairs to show a friend, look at this beautiful rosary box. And I tripped on the bottom step going into the landing and I broke my ankle. And it was within, it was weeks of when the deadline was to sign up for this Catholic self-publishing academy online. And so the night before the price increase, I just said to the Lord, if you want me to do this, what would I write about? And you ever get one of those laser prayer answers that just hits you and you have instant clarity? It's rare, but when it happens, I try not to ignore that. And it was the mysteries and the promises. That's what I heard back. And I heard it in such a way that it made complete sense. And that is what the book is. And so what it is, it's this 15 promises that were given to Blessed Alanis de Roup, also known as Blessed Alain de la Roche. And I'll tell you more about him later. In the 15th century, he was given 15 promises that coordinate with the 15 mysteries that he also helped develop. And as I was contemplating this book, it struck me that 15 had original 15 mysteries. Perhaps there was a correlation intended by heaven, and I was going to dig into it. And so the book is 15 original meditations on, the growing years of Jesus, the suffering years of Jesus, and then the glory days. And they one-to-one, first mystery lines up with the first promise until the end of the 15. And I discovered through this process of writing it, contemplating it, praying it myself for months, that Mary hid something in this way of praying, that we imitate what the mysteries contain and obtain what they promise. And I think she wants us to unveil what she hid.
Julia, I noticed that in the introduction where you referenced that the end of the final prayer that we pray when we pray the rosary and to obtain what they promise, we just slide over that. Or I should say, I've typically just slided over that. I don't think I ever thought when I obtain what they promise, thought, oh, that's obviously referring to the 15 promises. And I mean, those are like big deal promises. These are not little things. And it's one of those things, folks, if you have not ever read the 15 promises, and I always thought of them as Blessed Alain de la Roche. So
Yes, same
I
guy.
liked your, I liked your, I know, same guy. I liked your reference in the introduction as well to the, hey, who is this guy? And what do we know about him? And referencing his maybe more original name, right? Not the
Sure.
Anglicization of it.
Yes.
But it's brothers and sisters, I'll say this, I'm going to make this statement, Julia, see if you found this to be true. I would say that in all of the different spiritual practices that the Catholic Church puts forward, I have found that praying the rosary with a sense of like fidelity, right? So making a commitment to pray daily or regularly, the mysteries of the day or all of the mysteries, that there's the biggest discrepancy between input and output. In other words, we've prayed the rosary as a family for, I don't know, 30 years, right? Carrie and me and raised our family praying the rosary. And let me tell you, it's ugly, right? It's just not, the kids are not on their knees with halos and glowing coronas around their head in praying in Latin, right? This is not how it, and great devotion saying, Dad, please let us pray more decades of the rosary. It is not, that is not it, right? So on the input side, kids all of a sudden discover they're dying. Right. But, and then the actual process of praying it, it is just not pretty. But the output, like what actually happens in our kids' lives in terms of provision, protection, and guidance is just over the top. It's like, oh my goodness, people, I don't know how to tell you this, but just do it. Just do it. And you'll discover that there's this incredible outcome that comes from the faithful praying of the rosary as a sign of devotion to the Blessed Mother and a sign of just loving her and wanting to receive the gift that the Lord has for her through our lives. But the input is just not always very pretty. So that's been my experience. What has yours been?
Well, let me just say that praise the Lord and His Mother, bless His Mother for their hand in hand work on my soul. Because writing this book was an uphill climb for me, and I felt, you know, being the Rosary Lady, I want to throw air quotes around that, that if I didn't have a really great Rosary habit, then I was a hypocrite. And I have to admit, my Rosary habit was squishy. But that came a little bit from the season of life that I found myself in. When we're home and there's all this stuff going on in the kids and everything, it might even be a little easier in a way to lock into the rosary and make it be a part of our regular devotional time. But I was finding, yeah, I'll do it. I'll wait till the end of the night. I'll do it. I'll be tired. I'll half nod off. But I didn't. I would use the rosary as a way to crush an intention that I had. And God was always so kind to me by answering these kinds of prayers of mine. But I wanted to be better at it. And the funny thing about writing this book is that I had to be better at it. I couldn't just throw a devotional at people and say, there you go. No, I had to pray it myself for months. And I need now to marry my meditations into the promises of Our Lady, because that's what keeps me at this, because I know what's at stake. I have a greater sense of what's at stake if I don't pray my rosary. You know, it's motivating. It makes sense to do it this way.
Well, and Julia, one of the things, again, that you say in your book, Praying the Promises of the Rosary, and I'm going to ask you how they can get this book in their hands. I really sincerely enjoyed praying with your book, right? It's not just reading it, but praying with it. The way that you say, give it a month, just give it a month, try praying the rosary with these promises in mind, and just watch what God will do. Mm-hmm. Just watch how the Lord will work with this sense of confidence, right? That's what hope is. Hope is confidence that the one who has made the promises to us is faithful, and he will fulfill those promises. And they are shocking. The promises themselves are shocking. So I don't know where you came up with that idea of saying, look, like take a month, like it's a month challenge, right? You have all these like weight loss challenges and all these other, you know, Exodus 90. Well, how about Rosary 30, right?
It is. Yeah, I have a 30-day challenge download people can get on my website, which is prayingthepromises.com. That's the only place they can find the book too, Tom, because I do not want this to disappear into some algorithm And also, I want to protect it in case Our Lady has some plans to bring it to a publisher who really will know how to market it, because that's not my main skill set. I hired a Catholic marketer to make the website. So if you love it, it's all what she did. If you don't love it, I sorry. Wasn't me. It wasn't a beautiful flower arrangement, but we tried, right? So yeah, prayingthepromises.com. And if you're interested, I have a fledgling little newsletter that's I'm starting to build. I've got, I think, 82 subscribers now. But I will put the link for this radio broadcast in my email. And there's some other sweet things that I always try to remind people to lean into a certain promise at a certain time for whatever reasons. But the Lord helps me with something to say there too. But there's a 30-day challenge. And I really recommend it, truly, because it does start to begin to form in the mind and heart actually what the promises are. So there's a little bit of memory that starts to come back. And that becomes more motivation, because if we know the goal, and the 15th promise that lines up with the 15 mysteries is our predestination for heaven. If we know the goal, we'll be more patient with the process, and we'll realize how Mary touches our lives every single day in so many ways. And she just wants us to not forget her, to not forget her son, because that's her whole mission in life, is to bring her son to us so that he could take us to heaven. So she's not finished yet, right?
Still a journey. And
we get to help.
Folks, you know, in this Catholic, again, in a Catholic world with a Catholic mindset, we learn to take on a Catholic understanding of things. Let's pay attention to the moment that we're living. It's the month of May. So in a very special way, dedicated to Our Lady and to the praying of the rosary as a way of expressing our sense of devotion to her. And again, I know that a lot of Catholics who will be listening to this, they're like, I know, I got that. You know, I'm comfortable with the Blessed Mother in the place of her life, and I've had or have a devotion to the rosary. What I want to do now, Julia, is actually start breaking open and maybe enhancing or advancing the idea of praying the rosary by looking at some of these promises. And so we could start with the first one, if you'd like, unless, I mean, I was thinking of asking you, is there a favorite promise?
I have a favorite promise.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I do. It is the 13th promise. And in the book, it's associated with the descent of the Holy Spirit. And what it is Mary says that she's obtained from her divine son that all the advocates of the rosary shall have as their intercessors during their life and at their death, the entire celestial court. Now, that's my favorite. So imagine you are, you know, you're kind of a movie fan, and you're there where they're doing the Oscars, and everybody that shines is on that red carpet, and you Google and ooh and ah with the paparazzi. Now, that's not me. I don't do that. But those are the saints, and they all want to help us. And Mary promises through the rosary, we can ask all of them for help, all of them, all of the angels, of course, our Lord himself, to intercede for us to God. So it is good for me, and this is why I love this promise so much. Sometimes we have a heavy cross that's laid on us, or we see someone with a really heavy burden, or there's an urgent need. And I know that because I'm devoted to the rosary, Mary has promised that I have access to all of heaven. I have literally stood in my entryway with my hands up in the air and said, okay, heaven, okay, all you angels and saints, you need to answer this one. And I find that those prayer intentions, they get taken care of either relatively quickly, or the answers start to come so that the situation is put on an even keel again.
That's so powerful, Julia. You know, when you talk about that, this idea of the entire celestial court during their life.
Yes,
and
right
at
now.
The hour of their death, right now.
Yes.
It's a, such a striking thing. And I, when I hear that, it's something that I will regularly be reminding Catholics that, and then, you know, for non-Catholics as well, who don't really appreciate or draw on the intercession of the saints, it's that the Lord's not threatened by his saints. The Lord loves to raise up and honor the lives of those who have lived for him, and he loves to use those as mediators of the good things of the treasury of heaven. And again, it's not apart from Jesus, but these are members of the body of Christ, and it's the head that is guiding the flow of these graces here and now on earth.
Exactly.
I
And
just love that.
it is lovable. That's why. And, you know, our great evangelist, the Apostle Paul, called them a great cloud of witnesses. And they're able in a mystical, mysterious way that stands outside of space and time. They're able to see our lives. And you can bet that it's like we're on the field and they're in the stands. It's the Super Bowl. And they're rooting for us. They love us. They want us to win. They want us to be victorious in this life. So why
You know,
wouldn't they, if they were given a chance to help us, like if you were able to just jump down onto that field and grab that ball and help, you know, you'd kind of want to, although amateur hour, so nobody pays the big bucks for that. But those are the saints and they're not amateurs. They're really, really, really good at loving God, which is why they're saints.
Amen. Gee, you're saying some beautiful things. We're up against a break. When we come back, I want to dig into that. Drawing on both the Catechism of the Catholic Church and St. Thomas Aquinas. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's great to be with you. I'm with Julia Miller, the author of the book, Praying the Promises of the Rosary, Inspiration from the Middle Ages to Enliven Our Your Devotion Today. Julia, welcome back to the program. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. I'm enjoying being here with you, Tom.
Yeah, this is nice. This reminds me of the olden days, the good old days, right? When we were part of all kinds of fellowship, different groups and all of that. And
Yes.
you mentioned, and I just want to just kind of recall this. You mentioned I had forgotten that you had provided the flowers for our wedding 30 years ago, and it was still I was just getting to know you. You and John were dear friends of Carrie's sister Laura and her
Yes.
husband Mike, and that whole circle that welcomed us in. And you're right. It was so interesting that when Carrie and I were first courting and then engaged, we would come and visit, and we would. That's where we first met you,
That's right, I
and
remember.
John. And so, yeah, really, it's just what a mystery of how God unfolds things. But you mentioned the live rosaries, full
Yes.
rosaries that you provide, and you provided that to me and my family a year and a half ago, when my dad died, and the rosary was a part of his own walk of faith with my mom, and so it was beautiful, it was remarkable, and I say remarkable, but it was remarkable because so many people remarked on
Yes.
having that beautiful rosary there during our rosary, during, you know, the excuse me, during the not only during the funeral itself, but during the wake, we
Yes.
prayed a rosary and reflected on the rosary, and it was just so beautiful to have the rosary there on display, and then to have the rosary on his casket. So it was very striking and powerful. So that ministry of yours touched my family's life, and I just want to thank you for that. And just to say that out loud,
Oh.
so that folks will know that. And that's still something that you're doing. And you mentioned that. What's the website for that, so folks can learn more about that?
That one is freshrosary.com. And
Freshrosary.com. Yes.
yes, and Tom, that I just feel like the Lord and his mother have my life mapped out and I'm figuring it out. And sometimes I figure them out through mistakes. Well, most often. You know, you take me falling off the bottom step and breaking my foot. I wouldn't have written a book if I hadn't broken my foot. To be honest, there are other things to do. You know what I mean? So, and the rosary business came because I made a mistake. A girlfriend had asked me to do funeral flowers for her mom, And she said, I want a rosary and I want a divine mercy cross. And other than that, I don't really care what you do. And I bought roses that were too big for this rosary kit that had the tiny little clips in it. And I it was a big design mistake. I couldn't figure out what to do. And then in this moment, it was kind of like that was a holy wow. Her mother's name was Barbara. I had exhausted all of my brain power on making this rosary. And I said, I sat at my table, put my hands down, my feet down, and I said, Barbara, if you want this at your funeral, you're going to have to help me. And I heard a lady's voice right in my left ear say, well, I would wire it. And the kooky thing was that I knew exactly what that meant. And that involved cutting the roses apart and shish kebabbing them together and just not even using this clip wire stuff and then looping the whole thing together. And it was finished and it was 8 feet long. It's like the size of grandma's dining room table. And then there were conversion stories from that. There were, you know, people would see the rosary and they just openly start weeping. And they had a daughter who had been estranged from the family for 17 years. And she came back to the family and came back to her Catholic faith. I thought, oh, Mama Mary, am I supposed to be making rosaries? I don't know how to ship these around the country. And I put her off for 7 years. I said, don't give it to anybody else, but I'm not ready. So yeah, I've been shipping them now for 7 years and she's given me another job. And it is to get her promises out to people so that people will be encouraged to stay with the rosary, even when it's boring, that they know that the destination is so worth it.
Yeah, amen. Julia, one of the things that you had shared with me about the book is that it is more than just sort of some kind of random association of this promise with this mystery. But the 15 mysteries of the traditional rosary, the joyful, sorrowful, and glorious, also in a certain sense map out our life of faith. And that the promises you are able to connect in a meaningful way to the journey of faith. Talk a bit about that and how those came to fruition in the book, Praying the Promises of the Rosary.
All right. Well, part of writing any book is to get it into the eyes, in front of the eyes of people who have good opinions about your subject matter, right? So I workshopped this book in a women's retreat through the advanced reader process about a year ago in my church. And as I was preparing the material for them to just explain everything in a way that would really hit home to them, had a moment of revelation. And that was that the first mystery, which is about signal graces, lines up with when a person first considers, do I want to accept Jesus in my life? And when a person's ready for that, they will almost 100% of the time ask or look for God's presence through a specific, timely, meaningful sign for them. And that's the signal grace. So that's the first step on a Christian's walk of faith, the very first step. But Our Lady doesn't want us to stop there. She wants us to keep going. So the second mystery, which is the visitation, we all know the visitations, Mary visiting Elizabeth. The promise associated with that second promise is about receiving the greatest graces and extra protection, greatest protection and graces. Well, Mary's interested in protecting our baby faith. She wants to protect it from, you know, she wants us to be the seed that falls on good ground. From that parable, she doesn't want our faith to be stolen by the birds or cluttered up with weeds or, you know, blown away like chaff. She wants it to grow. The third is Jesus is born, and that promise protects us against heresy. It starts to lock us into a life of virtue and turn our eyes away from worldly things and be really united with the truth of Christ. So you see how it's starting a baby step, okay? The fourth one I think is really interesting because we see Simeon. He's been waiting for Jesus his whole life. He's been waiting for the Messiah. And he recognizes the Messiah's presence. And, okay, I'm just talking to all Christians who've been through these little steps like this. I myself reached this stage when I was 19 years old. I'm like, I could die now and be happy. I've met the Lord. No, there's more for us than die now and be happy. We have some suffering coming. Anyway, the next promise. So I just thought that was really great because that promise is I'm having a blonde moment, but it's more silver blonde. But that really, you know what that promise is, don't you? Kind of find it here, put my readers on.
Yeah, the fourth one is that it'll cause virtue and good works to flourish. It'll obtain for souls the abundant mercy of God. It'll withdraw the hearts of men from the love of the world and its vanities, and it'll lift them to the desire of eternal things. Oh, that souls would sanctify themselves by this means.
It's a very thorough, incredible mouthful of a turning point in a person's life. And Mary accompanies us in that point with these graces and these promises. So cool. And then the next promise is really simple. It's that she promises that your soul will not perish. And that we find with associated with the child, finding the child in the temple. So the first five promises are about protection. And then the second five promises, as we walk into the life of suffering in our Lord's suffering, and we imitate his obedience to the suffering, you know, just his faithfulness and you know what I mean?
Well, and
Yeah.
if you listen to the promise there, it talks about being never conquered by misfortune.
Yes.
And I love that. It doesn't say you'll never experience misfortune, because we will, but it's we'll never be conquered by it. That we won't have an unprovided death. And
Yes.
I just I when I listen to that, it's just so striking to me, right? And then it continues with sinners will be converted, and the just spirit will persevere, the just shall persevere in grace and become worthy of eternal life. Just I think about that as a parent, right?
Yes.
Like I think about this one, this agony in the garden. Like, where does a lot of the agony of parents come from? It comes from kids, their kids, and the suffering that is associated in our lives with watching our kids take actions that are not in accord with God's purpose and plan for their lives. And there's a degree of just being powerless. But to be able to trust that promise that we're not going to be conquered by this misfortune, that the Lord will give us the grace to persevere, that he will redeem these circumstances, right? It's
Yes.
praying that promise. We got to pray that promise, not
We
just read
do.
it, but pray it so that
Yes.
we become it. We actually become what we pray.
Yes, we do. And I love the way that you fleshed that out a bit, Tom, because it's true. And one of the things that I think can be very common as a parent is instead of trusting this promise that those who recite my rosary devoutly will never be conquered by misfortune, it goes for us. Was it Saint Alphonsus Liguori who said that if there's one person in the family praying the rosary, the whole family can be saved? He was a great saint like him. I'm not sure which one. Louis de Montfort, maybe. Or even Padre Pio.
One of those two. It could be either one. Yeah, it could be
One
either
of those
one.
guys.
Yeah.
So this doesn't necessarily mean that our child in this moment is praying the rosary, but our prayers cover the whole family. So, you know, Mary offers all of this. And I think that the most important thing that we can do is trust that heaven loves our child more than we do. At every phase in their life, whatever they're going through. And our job is to be a light, you know, on the tabletop without the bushel basket, just to shine, to love them and to not worry. Like Padre Pio said, pray, hope, and do not worry. I don't know how many rosaries a day did he pray? Something like 90. I don't know how did he keep track even? But that was
Yeah.
this unbroken link of prayer. But we
It's
feel a
funny.
little
I was
bogged down.
talking, well, I was talking, it's funny. I was talking with a friend of mine about that, how many rosaries he would pray. And it was essentially, you know, he's saying mass, he's hearing confessions. And then he's, other than that, just praying the rosary. Like, it's his constant companion, but it's for him, the spiritual weapon, right? It's his spiritual weapon against all the assaults of the enemy, which were pretty relentless against him in his life, right? It's like, if you're going to be available to serve the Lord with as much magnanimity and heroism and generosity as he had, and be associated so intimately with the passion of Christ and with the stigmata and the way that he did, and reconcile souls to God the way that he did, to bring heaven to earth at mass the way that he did, well, guess what? All of hell is going to be coming against him. And so he still had to make the decision to say, when nothing else is happening, I'm going to have that rosary in my hand, and I'm going to be praying the rosary as that protection.
Yes, absolutely. And he knew intimately what it was like to have the confidence that he would not be conquered, that Satan couldn't touch him, really. Satan could mess with him and physically touch him, but he couldn't touch his soul. You know, that's what we have. That's what we take for to the Lord. So then the scourging goes with the seventh promise, which is those who have a true devotion to the rosary shall not die without the sacraments of the church. And the scourging really lays Jesus's body all bloody and bare, and it shows us just what he was and what he intended to go through, a total giving of himself for us so that we could completely receive him. And he wants us to receive him in the sacraments. And so the rosary highlights that.
Well, Julia, I got to say on this one, I smiled because the way that you associated this, right? So the you're not going to die without the sacraments. Well, we normally think, first of all, with the anointing of the sick, which is a sacrament of healing. And there's a famous scripture from Isaiah 53 that I will typically use in my own meditation on the scourging at the pillar, which is by his stripes we are healed. And so when you associated this mystery with this promise, it was like, oh, the sacraments are healing. The sacraments are the source of the ultimate, full, final, complete healing that a wounded, fallen human nature needs, which is to elevate us into this new creation status as children of God. But the full, final, ultimate healing is going home to God. And to be able to have those sacraments with us is, in fact, such a powerful source of healing. So by his stripes, yes, we are healed. And to say, don't just think that that's a restoration to health here on earth, but no, the most important healing is sanctifying grace that prepares us for heaven and fits us for heaven.
Well, these five, the middle five mysteries, they are really all Jesus' suffering mysteries. And so it surprised me as I was trying to, I figured I had to pull out the associations. And, you know, honestly, they were not self-apparent. They weren't a real quick, oh, that's clearly that. It was through really praying into it and meditating. And but we don't suffer for nothing. And the suffering, these, all right, so the first five are protection. The second five are provision. You know what I mean? We get the sacraments. We get our whatever we need at the hour of our death provided. This kind of thing that the Lord wants for us.
Yeah, that's so funny. I was going to say the same words, that protection and provision, right? Those are two of the fundamental things. And I would say the last one is going to be guidance or leadership. They're going to lead us towards our heavenly home and the glorious mysteries. And that really, that threefold aspect of our life of faith is really the journey that we're on. So again, folks, I'm talking with Julia Miller. She is the author of the book, Praying the Promises of the Rosary. And she has done just such a beautiful gift. She's given us a gift, which is not only made the road, not made the promises apparent, but linked to them to the mysteries, and not just linked them to the mysteries, but given us a simple quote unquote program or a path to walk, which is try it, take 30 days, pray the promises as you pray the mysteries. And she's given a series of brief but very meaningful reflections on the mystery of the particular mystery of the rosary and connecting it to that promise itself.
Yes.
So Julia, continue on. Continue. Let's talk a bit more about you're walking us through these mysteries, and we've made it to the third sorrowful mm-hmm. mystery, which is the crowning of thorns.
The crowning with thorns. Those who faithfully recite the rosary shall have during their life and at their death the light of God and the plenitude of his graces. The moment of death, they shall participate in the merits of the saints in paradise. So in a way, what this is laying out is that, hey, the saints had the light of God, the plenitude of his graces. This is saint practice, I think. You know, and so it fits with the third sorrowful mystery where Jesus is crowned with thorns. That sort of foreshadows the crown of glory that will be waiting for us in heaven when we get there. Well done, good and faithful servant. But also it surrounds the head. So you see that it does have something to do with the way we think, you know, the way we think. And you can get to this point in your Christian walk where you can think about suffering in a different way. You know, I am grateful because the suffering times have made me who I am, and I'm not, you know, I'm not too shabby, right? But I don't want to be an unpruned rose bush that's never been fertilized. You know, pruning hurts. Fertilizing is like scratching in around my soil and dumping you know what on it. But it makes me more vibrant, more healthy, more beautiful in a spiritual sense. And so we can't avoid the suffering. What we can do is trust that it comes from the hands of a loving God who wants us to be beautiful and wants us to be glorious, wants us to be saints, wants us to have the light of God, you know, the plenitude of his graces, and merit this eternal crown.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com. Okay, back to Sound Insight.
So, Julia, as you were talking, a Julia Miller story came to mind. Right? Believe
I
it or
it.
Not.
Okay.
This is probably, again, 25 years old, if not longer. We were at a cookout. I believe it was at the Hughes' house, and it was on a deck, and we were overlooking the yard, and there were a whole bunch of kiddos running around in the yard. And what had happened was, no, it may in fact been the Turner's house. Okay. But one or the other, we were out there and we were looking down in this big patch of grass where the kids were playing. And before the party had started, there were several of us that were down in the yard with plastic sandwich bags on our hands. I don't know if you remember this, but we went around picking up the Canadian geese remainders that they had left behind.
Yes, we did.
And we had spent enough time just scouring that patch of grass to remove all of
3 bags full.
Okay, yes. So you remember this?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I don't think you remember the line, though. We were standing there looking over it, and do you remember the line you said to me?
They have no idea what they're missing.
They have no idea what they missed.
Yes.
And by the way, I've told that story a bunch of times through the years, But it's the power of intercession,
yes,
of praying on behalf of others. And you quoted Sister Lucia, Saint Lucia, one of the visionaries of Fatima, in the introduction, because for me, one of the most powerful meanings of praying the rosary is now and at the hour of our death.
Yes.
And this promise in this mystery is about the moment of death. And I have this deep sense of devotion to praying the rosary in accord with the spirit of Our Lady of Fatima, which is pray for those that are near to death, but far from God.
Oh,
because
yes.
there are many souls who are falling into hell because there are none to pray and do penance for them. And so I have this sense of devotion to pray the rosary to roll away the stone, mm-hmm. so that those that are near to death but far from God, they're on the moment of their death, but they're trapped in mortal sin. And to be able to stand in their place,
yes,
and to be praying on their behalf by doing penance, by being by making these acts of reparation in the rosary, mm-hmm. is now enhanced because of this promise. Because of what you did in this book, and you connected it to this promise, it's actually quite striking, because someone who is on the threshold of death and trapped in mortal sin must have a mind that is confused, totally out of sorts, delirious. What they will lack is a sense of clarity. They'll lack a sense of peacefulness.
Yes.
And you think about the mystery of the crowning with thorns, and that's the mystery of clearing this up.
Yes,
that's
clear
the mystery
thinking.
Of getting mm-hmm. this right.
Yes.
And so I just want to say, you didn't realize, and I didn't even remember, but yeah, they have no idea what they missed. And literally it's heaven and hell. And we
yes.
can have a part to play in freeing them up
that is
by
excellent
playing that part.
Tom, that is an excellent, excellent way to focus your prayers. And I'm excited for when the Lord shows you all the fruit from that prayer, because not everybody knows exactly how to pray and what intentions, but that's a good one. I think that your listeners here today hearing that, they're going to start praying that too. And heaven's going to get a lot more populated.
Amen. I consider that. Well, and there have been some saints who have had that sense of devotion, but I think it's a devotion for our time, and it's
yes.
a gift from Our Lady of Fatima, that to really to have a sense of devotion to say, I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast, I'm going to do penance, I'm going to offer stuff up for souls that are near to death but far from God, precisely to help rescue souls from facing their moment of death in trapped in mortal sin.
Yeah,
I mean, wow. Can you imagine a soul coming up to you at the last judgment and saying, you have no idea.
No idea.
You have no idea, but it was your penance. It was your praying of the rosary. Devotedly, you had no idea it was for me. The stone was rolled away. Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. And I was raised from spiritual death at the moment of my physical death.
Right.
I mean, wow.
Yes. God can do anything. The Lord can do this in a nanosecond. He probably has smaller increments of time than nanoseconds. These are the people who showed up to the vineyard at the last moment and got paid the full day. Let it happen. Who am I? I'm not going to be like, nah, you can't. I worked here all day long. I get everything. Well, maybe we merit a high degree of glory in heaven. That's promise number 10, right?
Yes. I'm talking again with Julia Miller, praying the promises of the rosary. Julia, in our last 5 minutes, I want to do this. Tell me again the website to go to be able to access your book, to be able to buy it for themselves. And
right.
then in the last few minutes, any message that you'd want to give folks who are listening and who have been taking in this interview.
God love you. Thank you for listening. The book is available exclusively at prayingthepromises.com. It's the only place you can get it. It's still so new that there won't be one on Amazon. There's no listing on Amazon. Pray for me, pray for this process, because this is revolutionary. It will change the way you pray. It will give you so much peace and hope in your rosary. I got to tell you one story. I have a brother-in-law I love to pieces, and my mother-in-law gave him an advanced reader copy of this book. He came over one day because John was going to help him with the taxes. He said, "Is Julie going to be there? I want her to be there because I want her to autograph my book." So in he comes and he says, and this is, he's blue collar, really, have a beer, hang out kind of easygoing guy. He said, "You know what? I grew up at the rosary, prayed it, never really thought much of it, whatever. It was just something our family made us do because we were Catholic. But I sat down, I brewed some coffee, I sat down and I read your whole book and it makes sense. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to pray the rosary." So he has been praying the rosary faithfully for a full year. When my father-in-law passed away on the 1st of March, we were gathered around and I watched my brother-in-law Joe pray every mystery, pray every prayer, reverent, sweet, devout, beautiful. This is Our Lady. She wants the rosary to make sense to the people who are like, "Ah, I've given up. That's just an old cod swallop," or whatever the modern word of garbage is. It is not garbage. It will save souls. It will save souls that you don't expect. I had another fellow, 81 years old, a mentor in my floral field. And I reached out to wish him happy birthday. And before he hung up, I said, "I've written a book. Can I send it?" And I sent it. Well, in 1996 or seven, he gave me his confirmation rosary. He's like, "I want you to have it. It means the rosary means a lot to you, doesn't mean a lot to me." I said, "This is a treasure for your family. Let me keep it. I will keep it for you. Maybe someday you'll want it back." Tom, 3 weeks after he started reading the book, he reaches out to me in tears. He says, "Do you still have that old rosary? Would you please send that back?" Right? These are men. The rosary is not a little lady thing. Men are reading this book and deciding it makes sense. I'm going to pray it, or I'm going to at least give it a little more thought. I'm going to say the Hail Mary maybe once today. I'm going to, okay, this is important. There's power here. People's lives are changing. It's not me. I'm just a steward and I'm trying to do the best that the Lord has given me and his mother has given me to do. But this will start a new, I believe there will be a new revolution of people who pray the rosary and they know why.
That's beautiful. Julia Miller is with me today on the program, and prayingthepromises.com. Is that the website? I want to make sure I say it out loud a couple times, folks.
Yes.
Prayingthepromises.com. It's going to be all one word, prayingthepromises.com.
Yes.
And so I do encourage you to get that book, discover in a fresh new way the promises of the rosary. And when you do that and you start praying the rosary in relationship to the promises, guess what? You'll discover a new sense of vitality, a new sense of spiritual power, a new sense of blessing in the rosary itself. Julia, thank you so much for being generous and sharing your time and in being willing to labor in the vineyard that the Lord has put there. It's been a delight to connect with you again and to talk about your book.
I wish we could talk another hour. I'm not done. There's more to say. I
We'll have to have you back to do that. So,
would love
Julia,
it.
thank you. This has been great. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Tom. Blessings on your day.